He saw Goliath fall down when David's stone hit him. When Hannah was praying that God would just give her a child, give her a son. God, if you give me this son, I'll give him back to you. Jesus was heard that prayer. Jesus saw that happen. Little baby Samuel was born. For 4,000 years, Jesus was there in the earth. God, in many mighty ways, he tried to show his people. We had the Israelite nation. Wonderful nation. When they followed God, the whole world feared the Israelites. Because they were God's people, and they were trembled when the Israelites came in because they were God's people. And in a mighty way, God showed his power through outward things. But there was something lacking. Something was missing in the hearts of individuals, the hearts of people. And God didn't make a mistake, but he had this 4,000 years. God had this all planned out, and he knew what he was doing, still does. But Jesus and God were seeing all this. And when the time was come, when the proper time was come, God told his son Jesus Christ that we have a need in man's heart that needs to be fulfilled. Needs to be filled with you. Jesus, I want you. I want you to go to this earth. Now, Jesus helped create Mary and Joseph. He knew Joseph and Mary before they knew him. And yet, Jesus submitted to his Father's will, came to this earth as a tiny little helpless baby. Now, we have here, I want you to think about the creator of the universe, the one who made the elephants and the giraffes and the dinosaurs. He came to this earth and was a tiny little baby in his mother's arm, Mary mother's arms. And boys, when Mary told Joseph to go out and gather firewood, I'm sure Joseph did. He went out and got the firewood. Mankind telling God what to do. But yet, Jesus submitted to his parents. He grew up in favor of God, man. And we talked about as a family, it seemed like those 30 years that Jesus was at home with Mary and Joseph, I understand Joseph died earlier. You know, that was a long time for Jesus to be there, kind of quiet. But Jesus was under the submission of his parents and under the submission of God. And Jesus was preparing for the time when he would manifest the light. Jesus, it says here in John, Jesus was the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. So when you think about the Christian's message, and I again, thank you for the chorus this morning who sang those songs, especially that last song, you preached my message. You really did. You preached my message this morning. Thank you. I want you to think about now. Think about Jesus now, filling that hole in the heart of mankind. I want you when you think about the message that you have to share. That Jesus Christ was in the beginning. I think we need to dare not forget when we preach the salvation message to remind people that Jesus was at the creation. Jesus was part of the Godhead. And he wasn't just a baby in the manger, but he was part of the Godhead back in at the creation. He was in the beginning. First point is he is the creator. In verse 3, Jesus is the creator. Third point, he is the life. Verse 4, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Now, what's special about life? When we see a plant that's withering and shriveling, we know it's dying, and it's kind of a hopeless feeling because you know it's going to rot and go away. But when you see a lot of a plant that it's green and growing and life, there's future there, and it's exciting about seeing that life there. Now, Jesus is life, he created life, and he gives life. So when we see individuals that are spiritually dead, are unhappy, or sad, or are despondent, or that need something in their life, we have Jesus Christ to offer to them the message that Jesus can give them life. Now, one of the things that I want you to think about in the message today is that the Christian's message, the message that we give to the lost, it needs to be from within. It's something we need to experience ourselves. It's hard to give life when you don't have life. So it's important that are we personally experiencing life? Are we in John 5, 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation but be passed from death unto life." When we believe the word of God and obey the word of God, experience the word of God in our life, we can experience life in within ourselves. And we can enjoy life. We can enjoy victory. We can enjoy fruitfulness. And we can enjoy victory. Verse 26, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." The Father had life, he gave the Son life, and now the Son is giving us life. And to me, that's a very beautiful gift. I love life, and I love when I see people with life, and there's life there, there's vitality, and there's fruitfulness, and there's, we saw that this morning up here, life. Verse 4, "Jesus is the light, and the light shineth in darkness, darkness comprehendeth it not." Now, I want to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on here, about the light that we have within us. We don't only have light, life, but the Christian's message has light. Light brings hope. We heard about that. Mervyn preached that recently. I appreciate that. The light of Jesus Christ brings hope to us. Verse 12, the fifth point I have here is then, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So in our Christian's message that we have, we're wanting to help people find life and light, but also that life and light enables them to have power to become the sons of God and daughters of God. That is a tremendous blessing that we have this morning to offer a message that individuals who don't belong, don't have a belonging. You know, because if you're not part of God's family, then who do you belong to? You're part of the world. And who is the world? And what is the world? It's a lost, empty feeling. There's a hole in the heart that is just empty. But when you belong to Jesus Christ, when you accept him as your Savior, you're a son and daughter of Jesus Christ, then you belong. There, that hole is filled with God, with the Holy Spirit. Now, my understanding and my experience has been that hole that's in me that needs to be filled has a continual need of being filled. And I hope you're here this morning wanting to be filled more. See, the process of the Christian life and being sons and daughters of God is that when we are accepted into God's family, that we grow. Now, we have a lot of babies here in our church this morning, and I love our newborn babies, but we don't want them to stay newborn. We want them to mature and to grow and become more and more like an adult, even though sometimes we think we want to keep them in the baby stage as long as we can, especially the mothers. But God wants us to grow. God wants us to be more and more like him. Jesus Christ, the message of Jesus Christ, helps us, gives us the power to become the sons of God. Now, verse 10 and 11 indicates that something is sad here, something is a need here. Verse 10 and 11. Now, Jesus Christ, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. We talked about that. But the world knew him not. The world did not recognize. You know, Jesus would walk among them. He would heal, raise the dead, and heal the sick. Many things that Jesus did among the people. But the people did not recognize him as being the Savior, the creator of mankind. They saw him, but they didn't know him. He came unto his own. I think it's referring to the Israelites, to the Jews. He came to his own, and they refused him. They once said, crucify him, get rid of him. We don't want him. And today we still have that same spirit mentality in the world. But as sons and daughters of God this morning, we have we have a message. The Christian has a message. And somehow or another, we need to know Jesus Christ. He needs to be in our hearts, that burning in our hearts, burning in our lives. And then we need to have that same desire that Jesus Christ had and God had, that he wanted to meet that need. And so we as individuals, we hear the heart cry of people, and we help them to find the light. Now, there are people who have never heard about Jesus. So the opportunity is to tell them about Jesus for the first time. Then there are people who hear, but they don't understand. And we have a lot of those around us. They see Christians, and they see all the different religions, and they hear about Christianity, and they hear about the Bible, but it just doesn't make sense. So they just leave it alone and try to fill their life with something else. See, someone needs to love them enough to show them that Jesus will make a difference. And it's not hard to understand. You need to die to self and get and willing to crucify of yourself. And Jesus will come into your heart and will give you life and give you light. And will give you hope and will give you something worth living for. But Jesus is looking for individuals, hands and feet, that the Christians we have. And I pray this morning that burden would be upon our hearts this morning. That we'd have that burden and we just realize that this individual, just because they don't understand, doesn't mean they're going to go to heaven. They are going to go to hell. And we need to explain to them and show them and help them. But it takes time for us to create that vision or that reality in their lives that they can accept him and become a son of God. They need someone to explain, to show them, to teach them. Then we have those who hear the word of God. Maybe they sit in church. And they say, you know, I know that. But that's not what I want. I've got my life to live. I want things I want to do. And I just don't have time to mess with that right now. Maybe later on. We have those who reject. So we have all different needs around us. And I guess the ones that probably are burdening me right now are those who they want part of Jesus. They want part of Jesus. They want enough to get to heaven, but that's about it. They still want to live for themselves. And those are the ones that are really, really hard sometimes to reach. Because they say, well, I have Jesus, but I don't want the rest of it. So we have to, again, with the help of God and the help of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ within us, help them to find that it is important for them. The thing that I want you to think about, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Simply, practical, my understanding is that Jesus put clothes on the Word of God. He did. He put shoes and clothes and on the Word of God, and Jesus walked among men. They saw how he played and how he laughed and how he cried and how he talked and how he. They saw that. And that's, as Christians, that's part of our work, our message today. We would be the hands and feet of Jesus. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And to me, that is a defining point of whether or not you have accepted all or not. You know, when we accept Jesus Christ, our Savior, and He has met the need in our heart, I can assure you that that blessing, that life won't just stay there. It comes out. And it says, we beheld His glory. And I understand that. We saw the works of God. We saw the Word of God being lived out. And we didn't think about the individual. We thought about what he's doing. We thought about God and how God was glorified through that person's experience. And as I evaluate my life, am I really being a witness for Jesus? And I think I only am when you don't see me. But you see Jesus. You see the Word of God lived out in a very practical way. God wanted, in the flesh, He wanted to be visible. He wanted to be physical, and He wanted to be sacrificial. Let's keep going here. There was a penalty for sin that had to be taken care of, and Jesus Christ was that sacrificial lamb, that sin bearer. He bore our sins. Jesus was born of the tribe line of Judah in the seed of David. Jesus became incarnate. We don't use that word very often. But incarnate simply means that God took on flesh. To me, that's a miracle. It's amazing how the Son of God took on flesh and bones and was a human being. That's incarnate. I'll just read Luke 1:31. I think you probably read that in your... I didn't go into the Christmas story because I was thinking you were, as a Sunday school lesson, we're going to be talking about the Christmas story. But Luke 1:31, I just want to read this yet. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The Son of God became human, became flesh, was born of a woman. God gifted us with a flesh and blood Savior, and He is now living in heaven for us. Let's go back to John 1:14, where the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. One of the aspects that I was wanting to talk about this morning is God wanted Jesus Christ to be visible to every human being. How was every individual that had this hole in their heart, how were they going to find out about Jesus? There needs to be an exposure. And that's why the businesses, they put up signs along the road, interstates, put these big old signs up there. We sell metal. We sell roofs. We sell this. Because they want people to see that, so they'll come and buy their roof from them. So there needs to be visibility. How will Jesus Christ have visibility here on this earth? It's through the sons and daughters of his, through us as His children, through the church. And I think the church is a very important part and play in the visibility of Christ. Why is it important to have visibility? I looked at the word visibility. What does it actually mean? It means a measure of the ability of radiant energy. And when you see someone who's full of life and happy, it just something, for me it does that way. When I'm around that person, all at once I start radiating and I start getting happier too. It's just something about that individual's smile and radiance has effect on me. It just kind of makes me happier. And that's visibility. That's what's happened when a person is experiencing Jesus Christ in their life and they're experiencing walking with God. There is something, there's a river of life within them flowing out. It affects others, and it's a visible thing that encourages us. Okay, so you see someone who is discouraged and is lost and is, maybe they've had a very difficult time. They see someone who is happy and who is like God is blessing them, and they see that, they feel this hole in their heart and this empty ache in their heart, and they see that. There's something within that gives them a desire to go to that person. But I want to encourage you now. Sometimes you think, well, I'm here. Whenever you're ready, come to me. But I think at the same time, the Christian who is alive and alert and awake, he will also notice the one who is struggling, one who is needing help. And I guess I just love to see the idea of where the two come together. Whether it's in the prayer room or it's in the Walmart or Bass Pro Shop or wherever it's at, that these two individuals find each other, and that the Christian would have the love and the knowledge of the Scriptures, understand the Scriptures, that to help this individual find life, find help. So visibility is very, very important. The English language says it is to evoke visual sensation. Now, the word evoke means to bring to mind recollection and to recreate imaginativity. So as a person that's a Christian, as a light, as Jesus Christ in his life, and he evokes me, as I look at him, I think, you know, I could have light too. I could be happy too. I'm doing something wrong. I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing. That's why I don't have it. But he's doing something right, and he has it. So it should evoke me, we don't use the word very often, to stimulate me to go to the individual. So I want us to think about that as Christians. Is our life evoking, or is our life radiating the love of Jesus Christ? Now, verse 16 of our scripture today said, of his fullness all we have received, full grace for grace. So when we accept Christ as our Savior, we become a child of God. It says, verse 16, we have the Christ's fullness is within us. Now, we're not Christ, but we have the power of Christ within us. We have the energy. We have the strength. We have the ability to be able to share the light to the individual. Grace for grace. This morning, is our Christian life visible? And if it is it radiating the true Jesus? And if it is it radiating in a way that evokes individuals to want more of Jesus? And we just went through a wedding here, and it's a lot of work getting married and having a wedding. You know, next day you got to clean up all the mess. Well, the other night at Bethlehem, trek to Bethlehem, there's a tremendous amount of work went into that. You know, and after the next day, guess what? We had to clean up the mess. The point I want to bring out here now is God went through a lot of effort and work to send his son Jesus Christ to this earth. And we don't do it because of that. But there's a lot of work and effort, and there's still a lot of work and effort going into it. And as Christians, this is what kind of really bears on my heart. As Christians, when God has put all that effort forth into preparing a salvation that has life and light and power and beauty, and he's the creator, and we just sit there and we have our hands hanging down and we think, well, I'm not sure what to do. There's just, I can imagine God saying, you know, why aren't you doing so? Why aren't you, was it even worth sending Jesus Christ if you're not even going to do anything about it? My prayer this morning is that we as Christians would be excited. We would be enthused. We would be put forth effort. And again, as I was studying this message, I kept thinking, so do I on my own effort just push and push and try? I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to be a witness. I need to tell people about Jesus. And, oh, it's so hard. Or when I feast upon the Word of God, when I love the Word of God, when I love eating at His table, when I love reading His Word, and that's what John 1 does to me. Whenever I read John 1, I just kind of get excited. I start filling up. I start wanting to flow over because there's so much in John 1. There's a beautiful, clear message in John 1. And it just wants to make me just spill over. So I really believe that witnessing is not something that yes, we're fearful people. Sometimes it's hard for us to do some things. But if we've truly had the love of Jesus within us, it will flow out. It will be like a river of water flowing within us. Let's turn back to John 1 again. I had to think of John the Baptist. I just love his answer. They came to John. John was baptizing there in the wilderness there by the River Jordan. He was baptizing. The crowds were coming and things were happening because when we do God's work, God blesses. And the people were coming, and so people were wondering, who are you? Are you Elias? Are you a prophet? Or who are you? You know, and this is a Christian now, okay? Jesus' salvation wasn't planned yet, but this is a Christian's attitude. Is John says, I'm not Elias. I'm not a prophet. All I am is a voice. How many of us have voices this morning? We have a voice, don't we? John says, oh, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. And that's what God wants this morning. The blessing of the Christian story is that voice that God gives us, we use that voice to tell others, to show others, to help others, even as they begin the journey with Jesus, that they continue the journey and they follow through with the journey and they become more and more like Jesus and become more and more filled with Jesus Christ within them. Just a few more verses here yet. In John 7:38, I referred to that a time or two while ago. John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the Christian's message, is there's something within is going to come out. And it's going to bless. It's going to radiate. It's going to evoke others to ask questions that come and find life and light. 1 Corinthians 2:13. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Again, this is something that when the Holy Spirit is within us, and I wanted to bring that out while I go. We talked about earlier about how God manifested his glory through the Israelites and through the parting the Red Sea and killing the Goliath, and there's many miracles in the Old Testament, Daniel and lion's den. But Jesus came and he wanted to be within us. And so Jesus prepared the heart, cleansed the heart with his blood, and his Holy Spirit, which is part of the Godhead, which was there at creation also, is a part of the Godhead that lives within us. And God chose now to have the part of the Godhead within each one of us that have chosen to become or have allowed him to allow ourselves to become a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. So we have the Holy Spirit within us, okay? So that is a tremendous asset and a part of the Christian life. It's if our message is to be effective, we have to have the Holy Spirit within us. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13 says, which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That is so beautiful. As we're witnessing, as we're sharing, as we're asking questions and we're counseling, the Holy Spirit is right there. And the Holy Spirit knows that individual. He knows you. And he uses you as a voice to help that individual find life and light and find victory. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Again, as we speak, as we spread the light, let's remember, we are here to glorify Jesus, glorify God. And when we glorify God, we're not glorifying man. And so, well, after we leave, they still have God. God can go with them and be with them all the time. That's what I love about this individual thing, where you don't have to go to Jerusalem and to the temple to worship. You can go in the back corner of the woods, or you can go in the shop, or you can go in the mini barn, and there you can find God, and you can worship him. Because God is with you, and your Holy Spirit is with you. One more verse yet, 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. They would have a voice. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This morning's question I have for you is, what are you doing with the Christmas message? What are you doing with the Christmas message? And is the Christmas message your message? Is it the Christian's message? Now, let's carry it one step further. Jesus Christ came to this earth to prepare our hearts for the Holy Spirit. That was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. One of the purposes there. And his blood cleansed us from sin, cleaned our heart. And we asked the Holy Spirit to come in. That Holy Spirit lives in our heart. And so now, today, we have that Holy Spirit in our life to teach us, show us, and also to inspire us to find those people that are in darkness. Those people who are rejecting the truth. Those who don't want to hear it, don't have time for it. Their lives are full of themselves. But to help them, and there's something fake about the world's goods. You can buy a brand new bow, a brand new horse, or a brand new whatever. And it's fun for a little while, but it just does not fill that hole in your heart. And there's many times, many of us have tried. I tried to put things in there, and it just didn't satisfy. But when I found Jesus, it filled the need in my heart. And I haven't regretted it since. And that Holy Spirit within you is desiring and wanting to use you as a voice, as a mouthpiece, as a vessel, a channel to reach those who are lost, who have not yet found the truth. It says Jesus was full of grace and truth. Grace is love and mercy, but truth is what is also is in the Word of God. There is a heaven, there is a hell. We need to live holy, live godly. That's the truth. Grace to live that kind of life. The Holy Spirit is within us. I just want to pray that we as a church here could be our, not necessarily a New Year's resolution, it should be a lifelong resolution. That we are channels that are subject to the Holy Spirit as it encourages us, moves us, teaches us, and compels us to spread the gospel. Let's come for the Lord in prayer.